This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number four of VSiN Prime Time, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. And what better way to start off than by taking a look at some UFC 317. Doug Vasquez, he does tremendous work over at Sports Illustrated covering the fight game. He joins me right here on the Progressive Guest Line. And Doug, it's great to have you aboard tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. International Fight Week here in Las Vegas. It has that big event feel, especially with Canelo Crawford going on. So pretty excited for this card coming up tomorrow night.
And it's just so good in general to see big-time fights back in lovely Las Vegas where they need to be. We need these big fights, and we've got ourselves a tremendous card. So right there with you, Doug. And first things first, this is not a fight that made your card because this is about as demonstrative as it gets. Nico Price versus Jacoby Smith. Smith in some places as high as a minus 2,500 favorite. Is there any way to be able to play a fight like this where, I mean, the money line is just chalk to the moon, and I mean, even some of these, shall we say, ways to be able to try to reduce the juice on like a round prop or something like that, even that round prop is very heavily juiced to the under.
Yeah, I mean, Jacoby Smith is the real deal. I got a chance to see him fight last year in the Contender Series. When you see it, such a demonstrative line favoring one fighter like that, I don't think anyone should ever be that big of a favorite in a professional cage fight. But like I said, Jacoby Smith is the real deal. Nico Price is a longtime veteran of the UFC. He can be dangerous. His fight IQ just isn't really there. So I do see Jacoby Smith going in there and probably getting the job done early as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's just hard to be able to bet those sorts of fights. This is one that is much more bettable, as we've got Beneil Dariush going up against Renato Moicano, with right now Dariush about minus 105. You've got Moicano right around about a minus 110, minus 115 or so. How do you take a look at this rather toss-up fight?
This is a really good fight, and this was actually the first bet I placed on this card. I am leaning towards the Beneil Dariush side. When the line first opened, Moicano was a bigger favorite, but like you said, the market seems to have it as a coin flip now. Dariush is just, he hasn't fought in a while, but I just think he's better than Moicano everywhere. He's a fantastic grappler, and I think has the edge in that when the fight gets to the ground. Moicano obviously is a very accomplished black belt in jiu-jitsu, but he's more of a grappler than a wrestler, and I think the wrestling sometimes overpowers when you get the fight to the mat. Moicano is going to be shooting submission attempts a lot, but I think Dariush will be able to just, maintain the pace. I do have him probably winning a decision. I see this fight going to the scorecards, but I see Benny getting the job done as well.
Yep, I think so as well, and I think that's going to be one of the better fights that we see on this card, and I know that you're taking a look at a lot of these rather pick'em fights, but you do have one underdog that you're really liking, as this guy is right around about a plus 140, plus 150 in Vyacheslav Borishev. Hopefully I got that correct. And going up against Terrence McKinney, that one a little bit easier to pronounce, with McKinney right around minus 150, minus 155. And what else I think is a lot of fun. Round prop of under 1.5. You're going to be laying minus 230 juice if you're looking at the under there. So they're certainly thinking that this one is not going to be going to the judges' scorecard. But take me through this one and some of the vulnerabilities that McKinney might have in this fight.
Yeah, so they actually call him Slava Claus. And right before I joined this call, I was at the ceremonial weigh-ins, and he actually showed up to the scale wearing a Santa hat.
Love it.
So he's a pretty fun guy. He's a high-level striker. Doesn't really have much of a grappling game, but he's much more technical when it comes to the striking aspect of the game than McKinney. McKinney is more well-rounded grappling, but I think Slava is going to be able to keep the distance, keep him at range, use his technicality, and not get kind of sucked into those firefights that McKinney can kind of draw his opponents into. I like him by decision at plus 140, plus 150. I do see a path to a finish for him, but I at the end of the day, I think this fight also goes to the cards and Slava comes away with a decision.
Yep, I love it. Slava Claus and him showing up looking like Santa Claus. That is just absolutely tremendous. As Doug Vasquez, who does an incredible job over at Sports Illustrated, taking a look at the fight game. He's joining me right here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And I know that this is one fight that you're not necessarily heavy on, but it is a main event, and this one I think is going to be a lot of fun. You've got Charles Oliveira going up against Ilia Topuria. Topuria right around about minus 380 on the money line, and you just don't see this very often. This is a fight that is slated for 5 rounds. It is a title fight, and the round prop is 1.5. You have to lay about minus 120, minus 125 to go over, but take me through this one, one that I mean, both of these fighters have been able to win by KO all throughout their career, and this one I think is going to be a very exciting way to end UFC International Fight Week.
Yeah, I mean, as much as it pains me to say, going through the analysis of this fight and kind of watching some tape, it kind of pains me to say, because Charles Oliveira, former champion, probably one of my three favorite fighters of all time, but I don't think this fight ends well for him. Ilia Topuria is moving up from 45 to 55. He was obviously the champion at featherweight, knocked out Alexander Volkanovski, knocked out Max Holloway, who had never been knocked out in his career. He's very brash, very cocky. Some people call him the Spanish Conor McGregor. He's not as boisterous on the mic, but he is very confident, and he has walked the walk every single time, like I mentioned, knocking out Max Holloway, who had never even been officially dropped in his career before that fight. He is going up against Charles, who, like I said, is a former champion, but I see Ilya just on a different level. The UFC is big, big behind him. They need a star right now with the retirement of Jon Jones and Conor McGregor probably never fighting again. And Topuria is that star. He's massive globally in Spain. He's best friends with Sergio Ramos, the soccer player. I think that when I was at his open workout on Friday, he said that he can guarantee he is going to go out there, meet Charles in the center of the octagon, and finish him, whether he knocks him out or whether he submits him. He's guaranteed that. And as much as it pains me to see, I kind of believe him.
Yep, and that's indicated in the odds as well. You're able to get Oliveira north of plus $3, and I don't know if there's another man on the planet where Oliveira you'd be able to get north of plus $3 on him for, so that makes things all the more fascinating with regards to that main event fight, and this one's going to be coming up before that main event, but there's another underdog on the card that is calling your name. Felipe Lima is going to be going against Peyton Talbert. Talbert in that neighborhood about plus 145, plus 155, round prop shaded up to the over. How do you take a look at this one for Talbert?
So this is a very good fight. Peyton Talbert came in highly touted, went on a little bit of a hot streak, and then he kind of got fraud checked in his last fight against Ronnie Barcelos, where he went into the fight as the biggest favorite on the card. I believe he was right around minus 1200 when the fight started. And when you look at a prospect like that, it's kind of weird that his next fight, normally they'll give you a layup after a disappointing letdown like that to kind of get someone who they view as a star back on track. But Felipe Lima is not that guy. He is he's very well-rounded, very good grappler. He's competent if the fight stays standing. But I do think that it's a little bit of a market correction on Peyton Talbert, and I think this is the last time you'll see him at that price if he goes out and does what he was expected to do against Barcelos. So I actually am going to take the plus money here on Talbert. I think that I see this going to the cards as well. I know this isn't exciting for everybody listening out there that I'm predicting a lot of decisions, but I do like Peyton Talbert to get the job done here. And at that price, I don't think you'll see him at that price again.
Well, in the Oliveira versus Topuria fight, we're probably not going to be seeing that go to a decision, but we've got another 5-round fight that is going to be happening on Saturday, and this one might be, as you've got Kai Kara-France going against Alexander Pantoja. This is a round prop of 4.5, shaded down a little bit to the under, and with Pantoja right around about minus 215, minus 220. How did you take a look at this fight? Because I know that this one was a little bit more, shall we say, one that you were a bit hesitant on, but this is certainly one of the biggest fights that we're going to be seeing on the card.
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. The flyweight division has been the most respected division in the UFC since its inception, but right now it's one of the most talented. You got guys like Josh Van and Brandon Royval who are on this card, which is Dana has said is going to be a title eliminator for this Kai Kara-France Pantoja fight. Pantoja's just so disrespected. I have him, I think he's ranked number 9 in the official pound for pound rankings. He should be in the top 5 in my opinion. Kai Kara-France is live here. I am staying away from it. I do think Pantoja probably gets it into the later rounds and sneaks in a submission at some point. But it is a very entertaining fight, and Kai Kara-France is live here if he's able to keep the fight standard.
And then we've got about 1 minute remaining, Doug. Anything else that you might be looking to bet on this UFC 317 card, or just something that you want to see in general?
I am taking a look at Jack Hermanson and his fight. He's about a 2-1 dog, but his last time out when he fought Jack Della Maddalena, who's the champion at 170 now, took him 5 rounds. Some people could argue that he won that fight. I think he's going up against RoboCop, who needs a win here. So if you want to sprinkle a little bit, I think there is a lot of value on either the point spread on Hermanson, if you can find that market at +3.5, or if you want to be a little more risk averse or a little bit more risky, bet the money line getting 2-1.
And I must mention this with Doug, one of the best Twitter/X handles out there. Doug does fights. Doug, you did a great job of breaking down the card tonight and really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Great to be able to get Doug Vasquez aboard. He does a tremendous job over at Sports Illustrated, taking a look at all things out there in the octagon. And we have to take a look at all things out there on the diamond. A lot of the early games are starting to wrap up. The late games are getting hot and heavy, and I don't think that they're done scoring out there in the lovely city of Baltimore. So we'll give you guys a roundup of all that next right here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Doug Vasquez, breaking down UFC 317. Should be a really amazing card. That Topuria versus Oliveira fight is going to be rock solid. I know there are a few +140, +150 underdogs that he was taking a look at as well. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now let's take a look at what we're getting on the diamond right now. And I told you about this a little bit before, and hopefully this doesn't happen like what we saw in the Tampa Bay Rays game, but Philly's up 5-0 at the end of the second inning against the Atlanta Braves. About a 2.5-hour long rain delay, so that caused things to be a little bit wonky. But Bryce Elder, he has looked elderly tonight. He has given up a pair of bombs. Nick Castellanos, 9th home run of the campaign. Trey Turner down for what? 10th home run of the season. Mick Abel did not throw a single pitch. He was supposed to be the starter. So if you went listed pitcher here, it's very interesting because I don't know what happened. Like, I frankly don't know. I don't know if it was like a rain delay situation. We see one or two of these situations every year, by the way, where you have a guy get like injured and there's like warm-ups, everything like that. So I'm not sure what happened, but you currently got Tanner Banks on the mound and you're going to need all 27 outs to come from this bullpen. And then I'm going to search feverishly as to what happened with Mick Abel, because I mean, you just don't find that very often. Like, I remember Blake Snell had a situation like that like a year or two ago against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, I mean, it was very interesting as to what happened on that front. And, yeah, Mick Abel just did not throw the first pitch in this game. So, that's interesting. You've right now got a 5-0 lead in that game. That is through two innings. And for this, you've got a just a situation where I think that there might have been something that happened in pregame warmups or something like that, but I mean, just very interesting. So if you did have a listed pitcher bet, if you had like some sort of prop on Abel, that should be voided out. That should be a refund for you. So we'll make sure to get to the bottom of that, but interesting situation there. And you've got a very interesting situation happening out there in Baltimore as the runs have been flowing like wine tonight. It is currently 15-8. The Baltimore Orioles are in the lead. Keep in mind, the Orioles were down at one point by a count of 6-0 in this game. Actually make it 16-8 now for the Baltimore Orioles, because you've currently got a young gun on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays and Mr. Paul Grievous, who's not had a lot of MLB success in his career. He just gave up a home run, if I'm not mistaken, as Jackson Allday, 10th home run season, 16-8. This looks a little bit more of what you'd be expecting from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Baltimore Ravens right now, if both teams were able to get the two-point conversion. So you've got a lot of fun that's happening in that game. How about this game? The Texas Rangers were down by a count of 5-1 early on in this game. It looked like things might be lost with the way that the Rangers have not been able to generate runs. And I was looking at this as well. Nathan Eovaldi first start off the injured list in a month. I didn't think that he'd be lending a lot of length. He did not. Three innings pitch. He gives up three runs. Just looked unlike himself. And that's something that you want to look at moving forward. For Nathan Eovaldi, we have seen this last two or three seasons for him. He has been able to get off to a really nice start to the season. Looks like he might be a guy that's like a top five, top 10 pitcher in the American League. Gets injured. Does not look the same after that. We'll see how he looks in his next start, but certainly some concern here. But then Logan Gilbert gives up a four spot in 5 1/3 innings. Corey Seager was able to take him deep. Eighth home run of the campaign. And all of a sudden, the Texas Rangers, who had played 10 overs to 29 unders at home this far this season, that is over number 11 for them, and they have gotten this total over the total. Well, we've got ourselves a very interesting situation here if you're sweating out an over in Dodgers versus Royals. Right now with the Royals, they're trailing by a count of 5-4 against the Dodgers. This is in the bottom of the seventh inning, and this thing looked like it was a foregone conclusion that it was going to be going over, as you had the Kansas City Royals get up by a count of 4-2 after two innings. This at one point was 5-4 in the top of the seventh inning. Actually, it was 4-3 after two innings, but I mean, this was 5-4 in the top of the fifth inning. Right now, it's the bottom of the seventh inning. It's 5-4, and there's no certainty that the Royals are going to give you any more runs in this game, because they have averaged 2.8 runs per game at home this season, by far dead last in the big leagues. They scored one run in 27 innings against the Tampa Bay Rays in their previous series. And for the LA Dodgers, the bullpen has been able to get a little bit of something going. And this has been a Royals bullpen that they themselves have been rock solid, top 10 team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. If you get into a high leverage spot, you might be seeing Lucas Ursich, Carlos Estevez, who have been really good as well. 5-4 is that lead for the Royals currently in the bottom of the seventh inning, and we shall see how things are going to develop there. As Bobby Witt Jr., he was able to go deep in this game. That was home run number 10 of the campaign for him. What else is a home run? Utilizing ProfitX for all of your betting. It's ProfitX. It is a peer-to-peer exchange that is available in 40-plus states. It is the first of its kind, and you're able to make sports picks against other groups of fans and individual fans rather than against the sports books. This guarantees you the best odds of typically up to about 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds as well. Download ProfitX today. Utilize that promo code of VSIN, V-S-I-N. That is able to give you up to 200 in profit cash on your first month. That's VSIN over at ProfitX, as it is live. It is, I should say, VSIN prime time right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And more runs for the Philadelphia Phillies, by the way. 8-0 now is the lead on the Atlanta Braves. And for Bryce Elder, he has now given up 8 runs and he has gotten 6 outs. Not good, to say the least. And yeah, this is not looking like it's going to be going the Braves' way. And for the Braves, I know that there's a lot of people who have had a lot of faith in this team to be able to make the playoffs. At what point do we just cut bait on this team? At what point do we say, all right, we just whiffed on the Atlanta Braves? Because I thought it was going to be a little bit of a rough year for them. I really didn't buy the hype on them. And right now, this Atlanta Braves team, I recognize they've been a lot better at home rather than on the road. This is most likely going to be a loss for them. They need to come back from down 8 runs, and it's not inconceivable. We saw it with the Tampa Bay Rays do it a few weeks ago, and as a matter of fact, the Tampa Bay Rays blew a 6-run lead here tonight, so I mean, it's not impossible, but I mean, unless if you see some sort of a Herculean comeback, that's out 37-44. There's going to be a lot of teams in the National League that are going to be buyers. Now, I recognize that maybe in terms of wild card hunt, yeah, that team that gets a final spot, they're not going to be like some 90-plus-1 team or anything like that. But I feel like the Atlanta Braves have just dug themselves too deep of a hole to be able to claw out of. Even with Ronald Acuna Jr. back in the fold, this is still an offense that's in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game. And with Chris Sale now hitting the injured list, what do you really have in terms of this rotation as well? We've got Bryce Elder, who again, looking very elderly right now. 8 runs allowed over the course of 2 innings. That's not going to cut it. Spencer Strider is looking like the Spencer Strider of old. And Spencer Schwalenbach has been able to give you some good starts. So, I mean, those two guys are doing a rock solid job, but Grant Holmes is now your number three guy with Sale being on the injury list. That's a horse apiece situation. You have to think that moving forward, they might need to utilize some bullpen games, and they might need to do some mixing and matching as they've been having Didier Fuentes getting starts. Didier Fuentes should be nowhere near an MLB mound right now. So, I mean, the fact that you've got the Atlanta Braves just this far down, I think that's a lost cause. And just look down, the Phillies scored again. It's now 9-0 in the top of the third inning. Sayonara to the Atlanta Braves playoff hopes. Maybe I'm speaking a little bit too soon on that, but team is going to be 7 games below 500 after the end of the day tonight. They are way back in that wild card. Too many good teams. The San Francisco Giants, those teams out there in the National League Central, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the as well as Cincinnati Reds. You need to track down all those teams. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks might be a little bit on the come up as well for the Diamondbacks right now. They're in action taking on the Miami Marlins. And that is zilch in the bottom of the third inning. So we'll see what's happening there. And I was calling for some runs in this Washington Nationals versus LA Angels game. This is in the top of the third inning. Right now with the Halos, you've got the Angels down by a count of 2-1. And I don't know what it is, but for the Washington Nationals, when they go on the road, this is a bunch that they begin to hit. Once again, Josh Bell already has a home run. That comes off of Mr. Soriano, 11th home run on the campaign. And always be looking at these home and road splits. With Soriano, no home runs allowed in 55 innings this season. He's giving up about a home run per 9 innings out there in Los Angeles, which I recognize that that's not like an earth-shattering amount. That's not an overly alarming amount, but it is quite a bit of a split. So certainly something that you do want to be mindful of. And we're starting to see a few of these other games going final as well. So if you were sweating it out between the Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers, Tigers find a way to lose this game by a count of 4-1 as Sawyer Gibson Long does give up three runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings. And David Festa, best start of the year for him. He gives up no runs in 5 2/3 innings. Griffin Jacks gives up a run in his ending work, but this was a relatively solid win for the Twins. They're looking to claw their way back into that American League wildcard picture as well. That's going to help them be able to do so, and this is going to help you out as well. San Francisco Giants, they lose that series to the Miami Marlins. They get swept. They're back online. 3-1. They take down the Chicago White Sox. Good pitching performance here from Landon Roop. Unearned run given up in 5 1/3 innings. Now for the Chicago White Sox. Unders have been very fruitful for the team for this reason. They leave 10 men on base in this one, 1 of 9 with men in scoring position. Miguel Vargas, right now the only guy on the roster with north of 8 home runs this season, just giving you a big, giant nothing burger at the plate. So rough for a White Sox team that actually has some solid pitching. Aaron Civale only went 4 innings, but he only gave up 1 run. The starting pitching has been able to hold down the fort. The offense, it has not. We're looking to hold down the fort, though, with regards to our football previews, as it's Greg's NFL Random Roulette coming up on the flip side. I'm going to be breaking down all 32 teams throughout the next 16 nights here on VSiN. We'll see where the roulette wheel lands next, right here on Cash, right here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're back here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. We're seeing the conclusion of a lot of these early MLB games. And by the way, if you're wondering, yes, they did score again out there in Baltimore. And for the Baltimore Orioles, now up 22-8 going into the top of the ninth inning. They were down at one point by 6 runs, and they might win by 2 touchdowns. Like, my goodness, you just don't see that very often. And I have to point this out, for the Atlanta Braves, this might be one of the saddest performances of the year. The Phillies are now up 11-0. It's the top of the third inning with one out. Like, for Bryce Elder, he just shouldn't have taken the mound tonight. 10 runs allowed, 9 of which were earned, and, well, he got 6 outs, and now you've got Michael Peterson. Great name. He's going to be on the mound as well. We're going to be looking to deliver some winners, though, as we've got the NFL season coming up, because I was tasked with pretty much 2.5 weeks of shows here at VSiN, and trust me, loving every one of these. We've got to give you guys a preview of all 32 of these NFL teams. This is night number 3 of 16 with this exclusive. We're calling it Greg's Random Roulette. We pick a team by random, and I break them down. I give you guys what I like in terms of their season win total, some of the futures, where I think that they're going to be going right and where they're going to be going wrong. And I go to my favorite website that I've been using since I was a freshman in high school, random.org, to land on this one. So how about if we spin the wheel and we go with some random roulette?
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
All right, we are down to 27 teams of preview. We hit the random button, and let's see here. Are we going to land on a whammy? Is this going to be the new car? And not quite a whammy, but this is like when you go and get your presents for Christmas and you get socks. This is the Indianapolis Colts that we're going to be previewing, and well, this could turn into a lump of coal because I am not very bullish on the Indianapolis Colts. A quarterback situation that is strange, very, very strange, and it all goes back to what they did last year, or I should say a few years ago. They should have never drafted Anthony Richardson in the top five. Like, I don't understand all these people are like, oh, upside, everything like that. You need a guy that actually has some stinking experience. Like, what were they thinking drafting Anthony Richardson in the top five? I said it at the time, and I'll say it again. It is setting this organization back so badly. Like, and they were 8-9 last year. Imagine if they drafted a competent quarterback. Like, this could be a team that could be really ascending because they've got all the tools. They've got one of the better running backs they're going to find in the NFL in Jonathan Taylor. That guy gets the job done. Michael Pittman, he's been a little bit banged up, but you know what? He's a solid wide receiver. They could use a little bit more around him. Josh Downs is a guy that I think has some upside. This is one of the best offensive lines in the NFL as well. Like, I mean, it's not a case where the protection just absolutely stinks and these quarterbacks are being fed to the wolves or anything like that. Like, they've done a good job of being able to bring in guys like Quentin Nelson and company that are able to get the job done. And then when you take a look at that front seven, guys like Quiddy Pay, DeForest Buckner and company, like, this is a nasty defense and they just have no quarterback play. And I think that that's going to be really what cost them this year. Right now, that win total is 7.5. And there are some winnable games on the schedule. Like, you look at week one at home against the Dolphins. I would say that that's a rather toss-up game. But, I mean, that's one that they can get the job done in. Broncos at home, most likely a loss. But, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they get the win. On the road against the Titans, I personally think that they split this season series against the Titans. So we'll give them one win and we'll give them one loss. On the road against the Rams, that's a loss. At home against the Raiders, very winnable game. So right now, you're looking at things, and I mean, we're going to call it a 2-3 because I'll give them the Titans game at home, which is going to be week 8. I think that they lose the game on the road. At home against the Cardinals, I actually like the Cardinals to win the NFC West. Like, I mean, you could call me outlandish, what have you. I think that that's a loss. Like, I really like this Arizona Cardinals team. So, pencil them in for a loss there. On the road against the Chargers, that's a loss. At home against the Titans, that's a win. I actually think on the road against the Steelers is a winnable game. Like, I am just set all the way out on Aaron Rodgers. I think that that's going to be a dumpster fire, and I think that that is going to be a disaster. So, pencil them in for a win there. Now, they have to go to Germany to play against the Falcons. Like, that's a 60-40 game. 60% of the time they lose, 40% of the time they win. So, I mean, that's a little bit of toss-up. Then you go to the bye week. Chiefs on the road, loss. At home against the Texans, I think that they lose both their games against the Texans. Like, I just think that the Texans are head and shoulders the best team in this division against the Jaguars in both week 14 and week 17. We'll go with a split there. Like, I do think that teams not named the Texans are going to be relatively splitting their games. On the road against the Seahawks, loss. At home against the 49ers on Monday Night Football, perhaps a win, but I lean towards a loss there. Like, I'm landing on 7 wins right now for the Indianapolis Colts. If you have to play that 7.5 total, I'd be looking under. I don't think that they're going to be a complete disaster. I don't think that this is going to be a team where you want to be sprinkling on, like, fewest wins in the NFL or anything like that. But it's just a case of what could be for the Indianapolis Colts. Because right now, with Anthony Richardson and his lack of development and his just style of play in general lends itself to a lot of injury. I mean, he was dealing with injury all throughout the offseason as well. I mean, he's still a little bit banged up. It could be leaning to Daniel Jones being the day one starter. And we know that Daniel Jones led the New York Giants to the playoffs. But, I mean, that was one of the biggest smoke and mirror seasons that we've ever seen. It was all lost in the abyss of the fact that the Minnesota Vikings just so happened to be even more lucky that season. But, I mean, for Danny Dimes, he's never really been a guy that's been going out there gripping it or ripping it or anything like that. Like, even when the Giants were able to make the playoffs a few seasons ago, it was all because he wasn't throwing interceptions. I just don't know that he's set up for that much success here in Indianapolis, as it is VSiN Prime Time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Random Roulette landed on the Indianapolis Colts. We're looking at them overall for the season. And as strange as it is to say for the Indianapolis Colts, even though I land on like 7 wins for them, like maybe you can make a case for them to win 8 games. Maybe a case for 8. Like I said, if I had to play that win total of 8.5, I'd lean towards the under. Not something that I feel necessarily great about. What I do feel great about is the Texans winning this division, because I just don't know who else is going to win this division. But I could honestly make a case for them being the second best team in this division, because with the Jacksonville Jaguars, yes, certainly you do have Trevor Lawrence in there. He's a little bit more of a proven commodity, and I would go with the Jaguars over the Colts as of right now. But both of their win totals are at a 7.5. You've got a Jaguars team that is in year number one of a new coaching regime over there. And then for the Titans, they were drafting number one for a reason. I do think that things are going to be better for them this year than they were last year, but they're a ways away from being a relatively competent team. And again, with the Colts, you've got good pieces. You've got a solid defense. You've got a good running game. Yes, you could probably use another wide receiver or two to go alongside Michael Pittman Jr., especially with Pittman Jr. just always being banged up. That's a big issue that you've got for the team. But you see reasons for optimism for this Indianapolis Colts team. You see reasons to have faith in this team. But then you've also got an Indianapolis Colts team that, when they were still in the hunt for the playoffs — I do think that they were still in the hunt for the playoffs back last season when this loss happened — but they were going up against the New York Football Giants in week number 17, and they dropped that game 45-33. Everything was lost. And then for that defense, which I still think is a solid defense, we did see them take quite a bit of a step back towards back half of the season last year. And even with the funky bunch quarterback play, to say the least, that they had last season, because they were going through Anthony Richardson, and then he gets benched after he took himself out of a game and everything like that. You had Blacko for Flacco and everything like that. They were still able to put points up on the board. That's a lot of a credit to a guy who I mentioned a few times, and I'll say it again, Jonathan Taylor, one of the best running backs in all of football. Doesn't necessarily give you a whole bunch of receptions out of the backfield, but this guy is able to go out there. He's able to bring his lunch pail. You've got a really good offensive line for the team as well. There's upside here for the Colts, and that's what's so painful about this quarterback situation, because if they had quarterback number 23, 24 in all football, perhaps they make the playoffs. I don't even know if they have a top 28 quarterback on their roster right now. This is a bottom 5 quarterback room in the NFL. The Saints are even worse. The New Orleans Saints, they're a wet match in a dark cave. You're not going to get anything out of them whatsoever. But how many more teams have a worse quarterback situation right now than the Colts? Can Anthony Richardson perhaps develop into a little bit of something? Sure, but we were saying 2 years ago, he looks really good in the OTAs and everything like that. And certainly when you go into the underpants Olympics of the NFL draft combine, yeah, the guy looks great. Yeah, he's got a really good arm and he's got the ability to run fast. But what he doesn't have is the awareness to be able to make the simple passes that you need to as an NFL quarterback. And additionally, he puts himself in way too many positions to get injured. And he might not even be starting in day number one. Then you go to Danny Dimes, and Danny Dimes is a bottom 5 starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm sorry. I just can't be told otherwise, because with Danny Dimes in the system, is he going to be able to excel? I don't think so. So with the Indianapolis Colts, right now we're looking at their win total of 7.5. If I had to play it, I'm going to be going to the under. I do not like them to make the playoffs. I do think that their defense is going to be better this season. And with regards to this Colts team, I think that they're really the only way that you play them is game by game. And they were relatively close in quite a few of their games when they're a big underdog. I think that they could be able to rise up. And at some point, they're going to stub their toe and they're going to lose games that they aren't supposed to, looking at week 17 against the New York Giants. So lots of fun out there for the Indianapolis Colts. And coming next, we've got ourselves a lot of fun as we turn it forward to the Saturday baseball card right here on VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting Network.
It's the final segment of the night here on VSiN Prime Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up after myself, you've got the Sports Gambling Podcast Network coming up, and the Sports Gambling Podcast guys always do a tremendous job. They've got a locked and loaded guest list. They always do such amazing work on that front. So we've got you guys all covered there, and then my job now is to be able to get you guys there safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. And We're going to be taking a look at everything that we've got here in baseball to wrap up the night, and also we're going to be starting to turn it forward to the Saturday card as well. And for anyone that's looking for my write-ups for the VSiN website, those are already up for the Saturday baseball card. We got hard at work while we were hosting this show, so you know what? Hopefully we have found you guys some winners, and well, hopefully you guys took the Philadelphia Phillies on the money line. I recognize that this game is not done, but for the Braves to try to come back down 11 runs, that might be a little bit difficult, as for the Philadelphia Phillies, they're in the lead in the bottom of the third inning by a count of 11-0, and Mick Abel was not able to go in this game. Like, I still don't know what happened with him. He got scratched at the absolute last second. Like, even if you look on, like, ESPN or something like that, he's listed as a pitcher that started but never actually threw a pitch. So, very unique situation there. And so Tanner Banks came in, pitched two scoreless innings, and despite the fact that this is a Phillies bullpen game, they have now been handed an 11-run lead because Bryce Elder, he gave up 10 runs, 9 of which were earned in 2 innings, and now Michael Peterson, a human white flag, because you know the game is over if he's in the game, well, he's trying to hold down the fort, and something that you might be sweating, and I know I am. I took the Milwaukee Brewers on the run line tonight. The Milwaukee Brewers get up by a count of 7-1 early on in this game. The Colorado Rockies have all of a sudden been able to claw their way back. 7-6 is the lead. The Brewers are having men on first and second, no outs in the bottom of the eighth inning. For Kyle Freeland, it was more like 3 runs off of him, 6 runs allowed over the course of 4 innings. Bullpen from there has been able to hold down the fort, and Jose Quintana was expecting a little bit of regression with him, 4 runs allowed in 5 2/3 innings. So we've got a little bit of intrigue out there, and then you might be sweating this one out. This has the potential to be a really bad beat for the LA Dodgers and the Kansas City Royals. If you have the over in this game, the closing total was a 9.5. This game was 4-3 after 2 innings. This game was 5-4 in the top of the ninth inning. And now we go to the top of the ninth inning, and Lucas Arcega, one of the better relievers out there for the Kansas City Royals, is pitching in a 5-4 game. And for the Kansas City Royals, the offense has went just completely dry after the first 2 innings of this game. So you've got yourself some intrigue there. And then I do have to inform you that the game finally went final between the Orioles and the Rays, 22-8. Final on this one. The Orioles say, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22, to quote the great Taylor Swift, as they got down 6-0 early on in this game, and then they outscored the Rays the rest of the game 22-2. You don't find that very often in baseball, to say the least, but have ourselves a lot of fun. And by the way, if you took the over in the Angels versus Washington Nationals game, you've already got the over. 5-4 in the top of the fourth inning, gong show out there in Los Angeles right now. So you've got yourself a lot of scoring all across Major League Baseball, which I do think is something that you do want to be taking note of. It's getting much warmer out there in the just overall country in general. You've now got yourself the summer months, and I am going into the night. You were seeing over the last 7 days the underhitting at north of a 55% clip. The totals have begun to get a little bit lower than they typically are this time of year, so perhaps you want to be taking a look at some overs. And how about if we do dive in on what I like on the card for Saturday and all of our best bets here at VSiN? They are powered by GBank. And GBank is introducing the $500 trifecta. This is where GBank, along with FirstBet and VSiN, they all come together. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at FirstBet to trigger this $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value, and that's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests converting existing accounts. Apply today, and terms and conditions, they do indeed apply. As how about if we give you guys the games that I wrote up for this Saturday? As I was talking about the Brewers hopefully being able to pull out the run line tonight against the Colorado Rockies. Well, I like that run line as well on Saturday. This is going to be Antonio Senzatella, as I like to call him, the human pinata, going up against Quinn Pricer. And Pricer's been good for the Milwaukee Brewers. I recognize that he's not going to blow you away, only getting about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's given up 300 runs or fewer in 6 out of his last 7 starts. Rock solid for a Brewers team that has been shaky at home with regards to offense. They're only averaging about 3.7 runs per game at home, might be closer to 3.8 after the night tonight, but that said, for Antonio Sensatella, north of a 6 ERA, giving up 13.8 hits per 9 innings. North of 13 hits per 9. He's getting just banged around left and right. The Rockies really had to go into their bullpen because Kyle Freeland was unable to go 5 innings in this one. I do think that for the Milwaukee Brewers, they do a nice job getting into Sensatella. I do think that they get the job done here. That's a run line that when I was spotting it, it was right around minus 115. Still getting that at minus 115 to minus 120. I do think that you've got some tremendous value there for the Brewers. They are starting to rise up a little bit more with their offense. And it's not necessarily the home run ball. They're outside the top 20 in terms of home runs on a per bat basis, but you've got a lot of small ball. Sal Frelick, Jackson Chirillo, Christian Yelich, Bryce Turang all give you a double-figure amount of stolen bases for the team. And Yelich has, I'm not going to call him MVP form, Christian Yelich has come out, but I mean, he's been looking much, much better recently. So I do like the Brewers on the run line there. And that is a total I will take to the under because this Colorado Rockies team has been better with their offense recently, still averaging only about 3 runs per game on the road, lowest on-base percentage on the road of any team in all of baseball. And for the Cleveland Guardians, they got completely blanked here against the St. Louis Cardinals on Friday. You had Sonny Gray be able to pitch a one-hit shutout. Absolute gem. I think that they bounce back here on Saturday against the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's going to be Miles Mikolas going up against Slade Cecone. Cecone has looked much better recently, giving up 5 runs over the course of his last 4 starts. He is still giving up a little bit too much hard contact, but he's been getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, has reduced on the walks a little bit as well. And for Miles Mikolas, he's only getting about 5.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. His walks per 9 rate is pretty rock solid, but I do think that for a Cardinals team that they really don't slug the ball at the yard. They're outside the top 20 in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis, that this is going to be a little bit of a rough game for them. I think that this is a nice bounce back for a Guardians team that they have been a little bit top-heavy with the lineup. Like, you know what you're going to be able to get out of Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, both hitting in the neighborhood of about a 300, but where you're going to be able to get these bottom guys like a Bo Naylor, for example, Nolan Jones. That's been a little bit of a roll of the dice, but I'm going to be one to roll those dice on Cleveland. Felt like they should have been closer to a minus 130 favorite. Right now we're spotting them more in that neighborhood, about a minus 115 to a minus 120. So I'm going to be one to put my shekels down there. And with regards to Soto, did take a shot on the over because I do think that Miles Mikolas gives up a lot of general contact in this game. This one I think is a fun one as well. See you. Boston Red Sox might have been a dead side for me with regards to their money line on Friday. I think that they're going to be a little bit more lively on Saturday. Lucas Giolito has actually been solid recently for the Red Sox. Overall for the season, rocking north of a 4 ERA. He's been giving up about 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, but he has given up 2 runs or fewer now in 4 of his last 5 starts. Chris Bassett has been souring as the season goes along, and for Bassett, he's just been a little bit of a different pitcher when he's been away from home as well. Bassett has been taking hook, line, and sinker when he's been on the road thus far this season, as he's got north of a 4.8 ERA, giving up north of 1.3 home runs per 9. Now, it's a Boston Red Sox team that scored as many runs as myself on Friday. Not great, and I mean, you do have these young guys like Roman Anthony and company that you're going to need to get a little bit more out of them, but that said, I do think that they're going to be able to get to Mr. Bassett. I do think that this is a total that is set a little bit too high as well. I would be willing to take a shot here on the under because I do think that Lucas Giolito coming into form. Again, this has been a Red Sox lineup that has been a little bit rough in general as well. And for Toronto, this team entered into the night on Friday in the bottom 7 in the big leagues in terms of runs per game away from home. So that's certainly one that I'm taking a look at. And I do think that the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to be able to enter into the fight. Brandon Pfaadt, he goes for them against Sandy Alcantara. Sandy Alcantara has been a little bit better for the Miami Marlins, but still, he's rocking north of a 6 ERA. You've got Brandon Pfaadt, who's been much better at home. Overall, a 5.50 ERA, but that goes down to about a 4.08 at home. At home, he's giving up less than a home run per 9 innings, and this is a pair of bullpens that do find themselves in the bottom 7 in the big leagues in terms of ERA. So seeing that total open up at an 8.5, going up to 9, even if all you have to you is a 9, I would be looking at the over with Eugenio Suarez now back in the lineup for the Diamondbacks after he was missing the last few days. You are going to be without Corbin Carroll on the injured list, but still like that over. And I still do like that Diamondbacks run line as well what else I love, what we've got coming up on VSiN here for the rest of the night going into Saturday as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That's coming your way after myself. And then you want to be tuned in for everything on Saturday. The Weekend Morning Line with Tim Murray and company, always tremendous. Ready, Set, Bet, Mike Somich along with Matt Brown, they always bring it. That is going to be coming your way, Ready, Set, Bet at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. And then that is going to be the Weekend Morning Line at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.